Hey everyone, I'm your host Tom Shaughnessy and welcome back to Chain Reaction, a research-driven podcast that's a part of Delphi Digital. If you're not on Delphi's research portal, you're missing out on the critical analysis read by the top minds in the crypto space, so be sure to check it out. One quick housekeeping item, nothing said on this podcast is a solicitation to buy or sell any security or token or to make any financial decisions. I may personally hold tokens mentioned on the podcast, and you can view our show notes below for our complete disclosures. With that, let's jump into the episode. Hey everyone, I wanted to tell you about our new podcast sponsor, LVL. LVL is releasing the first free Bitcoin exchange in North America. The LVL mobile app allows you to buy and sell Bitcoin with no trading fees or hidden spreads. With LVL, you get free Bitcoin trading, a hosted Bitcoin wallet, an FDIC-insured personal checking account, wires, checks, and direct deposits, and even a MasterCard debit card. If you use their premium account for $9 a month, you get autopilot automatic trading, chat with a dedicated private banker, and even a metal MasterCard. Check them out at lvl.co or check them out in the show notes below. Now back to our show. Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Tom Shaughnessy. Today I have on Brian Flynn, who's the founder of Rabbit Hole. Me and Brian go way back too, so it's really interesting to see friend create a crypto project and crush it. Brian, how's it going?
It's good. Thanks for having me, Tom. Great to be here.
Brian, you've had an amazing morning. I don't know how much of it you want to share, but it's been a good one.
Yeah, it's been a pretty crazy morning. My girlfriend actually passed the bar this morning and Bitcoin hit all-time highs. So it's been quite a celebration this morning already. And it's only 10 a.m.
So you tell her that's the best news of the day, but in reality, it's Bitcoin hitting all-time highs.
Yeah, you know, she didn't want to hear that because, you know, she's trying to have her own celebration right now. So
no, that's fair, man. You got to keep it going. Well, Brian, Rabbit Hole is super interesting. Give us the elevator pitch for those who don't know about it. And while everyone's listening, if you're not watching the video, you can go to rabbithole.gg and check it out too.
Yeah, so Rabbit Hole is sort of a on-chain Coinbase earn, essentially. Users can earn crypto and use different DeFi applications and earn tokens in different protocols for interacting with them for the first time. So we have built-in identity and built-in support assistance for new users to kind of go and claim those rewards. So if you go now, you can start earning some 0x tokens for interacting with Matcha, and the campaign's running for the rest of the week. So it's just a good chance to kind of get your feet wet with the platform. But we'll be running a few more campaigns over the next couple of months, so you'll be able to earn tokens in different DeFi protocol for interacting with those things for the first time.
That's awesome. So the long story short is you're basically giving anyone with an Ethereum wallet the ability to do quests or basically do tests or lessons in a way, and then they earn not only experience, but they own tokens. So that's the tokens would be the incentive.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I'll kind of give you the background story. So it might be helpful of kind of how this whole thing came to life. So to give a quick background on myself first is I used to work at Dapper Labs for about 18 months right after kind of they launched CryptoKitties, and spent a lot of time thinking about growth and acquisition for crypto applications, mainly for some things we're working at Dapper, but eventually for other layer ones like Flow in itself. And one of the biggest questions was just like, how do you quantify how valuable of a user someone is in someone's address, if you want to incentivize them, with whether it's an airdrop or an NFT or kind of something in itself, right? We kind of see this explosion of airdrops happening right now, with Badger, Mirror, and some other things, right? So it's sort of like, how do we know this user will take action if we, give them some sort of incentive, right? So we built a platform at Dapper actually to quantify how valuable of a user someone is based off their on-chain actions, right? So if someone, wrote a CryptoKitty or interacted with Compound or actually with Uniswap, we can basically assign them a score, right? And the idea was that you can use that score to quantify, if this user will probably do some action like on your protocol if they're given some token, right? And we started first building that for Flow, and then I saw kind of a bigger opportunity to kind of build that for Ethereum in itself, because I saw, a lot of noise happening with Ethereum at the time. People were, you know, launching all different kinds of crazy DeFi applications, you know, in the summer and the fall, and forking everything. So how do we kind of like, you know, filter out the noise for users and then also give projects, you know, a quality user base where people actually want to, you know, complete actions and contribute to each of these networks that's not focused on speculation, but more on, you know, participation in each of these networks kind of in itself. And so we launched first around in the summer, first focused on reputation-based platforms, so just getting XP and giving users kind of this score. But we kind of realized that where the big opportunity is to actually do more token distribution type-esque thing, where we have projects actually just distribute their own tokens to users for completing actions. That kind of gets their, you know, each user down each of their own rabbit holes, right? So how do we get a user from first staking into the platform or supplying assets all the way to voting and governance and actually being a core contributor in each of these networks, right? So, you know, you can kind of imagine the platform as sort of like, you know, visualizing all their on-chain work and matching people who want to participate in networks and also people who can find core contributors for these networks as well.
It's fascinating, man. So there's a couple different stakeholder groups we could talk about. Let's start first with the users. So I'm going on rabbit hole as a user. I might be new to DeFi, I might not be. I'm earning experience and I'm earning tokens. Is this like something that's, you know, I don't know the best way to phrase this. Are people going on for one-off lessons, or is this more for the masses to really learn about DeFi, learn about crypto? Because the ability for people to rack up experience is, one, insanely important to understand the space, but two, it's really important for my next question after you answer on the second side, which would be targeting them.
Yeah. So, you know, the end goal of Rabbit Hole here is to really, you know, give Rabbit Hole to a brand new user to crypto who's just downloaded MetaMask, just loaded up and say, hey, you want to learn about crypto? Like, just go to Rabbit Hole. It will track your progress. You get free rewards. So, like, you don't have to worry about gas because you basically just get, you know, gas rebates essentially from the tokens themselves, right? And you learn about how, you know, the newest DeFi protocols that are launching, right? We're kind of like a long ways to go in that, but we're right now starting with sort of the, you know, most popular DeFi applications that are very easy to understand. But that's definitely our goal is, you know, focusing on the crypto curious user who wants to, you know, learn more about DeFi, you know, dive in a bit more, you know, maybe has traded a few, you know, altcoins back and forth and has never actually used these things before, right? So, you know, trying to, you know, quote unquote, get the user down the rabbit hole as much as possible is really the goal here.
That's awesome. And on the other side of this, I mean, you have an insane network because it's so hard to do identity in crypto, right? It's just impossible. I don't think anyone's really nailed it. But for you guys, you literally have all the on-chain data on these users, their experience for projects to target. Can you kind of walk us through the other side of this? And I guess this kind of delves into the monetization aspect a bit, but you're the first platform that projects can actually target the users they want.
Yeah. So, you know, as you know, kind of in the past, you know, projects that they want to acquire users mostly just do an airdrop for the most part. And they're usually just trying to find, you know, the most valuable on-chain actions, right? But what it really leaves out in most part is that, you know, they can't find either active users, right? Or they can't find users who are kind of, you know, highly willing to participate in each of these networks, right? And what we're kind of doing with our profiles and our XP is essentially, you know, building sort of this on-chain data profile of a user based upon, you know, what popular protocols they've interacted with, which ones they've interacted with, and giving some of that data, you know, all that on-chain data that's public to the projects themselves to say, you know, here are the users that are, you know, going through each of these campaigns, right, and participating, and your core contributors, like, and crafting campaigns around them, or whether with the on-chain actions to kind of get users more incentivized and contributing down to each of these networks, right? So I work with you know, DAOs and communities and crypto networks who already have live tokens to kind of find, you know, these users based upon, you know, the previous on-chain history, right? So the kind of equivalent is like, you know, crypto paid acquisition. So instead of using Facebook ads to kind of, you know, target you based off your search history, it's basically you're targeting user based off their on-chain data, right? With incentives to complete things.
How granular can teams get without Rabbit Hole, right? Like you alluded to, like the only real way is an airdrop. I know you could kind of mess with that a little bit, like, you know, hey, let's copy Uniswap's airdrop. I forgot the project that did that, and, you know, do it 2 weeks later. So we only send tokens to those who held and were kind of aligned with Uniswap. You know, how granular can you get without Rabbit Hole?
Yeah. So if a user, I mean, if a project wanted to do this without Rabbit Hole, certainly could do it themselves, right? They can set up their own, they can set up their queries, and they can, you know, have users kind of complete things on platform. But really, what the value of Rabbit Hole comes from, you know, being able to, you know, tap into a large user base of people who are provenly unique in some capacity, right? Because they have bright idea or reversible resistance kind of built in, right? With that guarantee that, you know, these are users who are willing to complete things, right? And get the rewards, right? So, like, a lot of the problem right now is that a lot of teams just use, you know, Twitter and Medium and like their own email list as kind of like the means of reaching their users, right? So if they were to have incentives in the same sort of like paid campaign, they're basically tapping into their existing users already. And there's not really like a paid acquisition channel that has, you know, a big group of users, right? So we're kind of creating like new platform with a huge aggregated group of users to kind of do this pay targeting, right? In kind of the most crypto native efficient way.
That's incredible, Brian. And I guess just thinking down the line, I know you guys just launched, but let's say Rabbit Hole gets massive, right? No doubt it will. How do you decide which like quests to put on the site, which tracks? Because like right now you have an Aave track, a Uniswap compound where people can go through all these great lessons. Like on Aave, you could lend or borrow tokens on Rabbit Hole and earn experience. But when you guys get huge, you know, how do you scale that curation mechanism?
Yeah, it's a really interesting problem, right? It's sort of the ever selection problem. You kind of see it with like platforms right now, like Super Rare, sort of in itself, right? It's like, how do they decide, you know, which artists should be on the platform? They have a huge application process, right? And so we have like a very, you know, sort of traditional like sales or CRM process sort of right now, where we basically, you know, have to prioritize which protocols should be on the platform. And, you know, we kind of like work in public since we're, you know, doing a lot of this BD in public, working with, you know, Gnosis and MCP right now, kind of on their Discourse forums. But, you know, we'll reach the point where it really comes down to curating the most efficient and valuable protocols that we know are safe and audited, that you know, protects the user as much as possible, and that are trying to find their users, right? So it's largely up to us in the beginning to do that curation. You know, it really shouldn't be up to us long term, right? It should really be up to kind of the users of the platform. So, you know, there will be a point where we kind of have to decentralize the thing and have users decide, right, which campaigns or which apps should be on the platform in itself, right? You know, we saw, you know, a bunch of dApp aggregators in the past, you know, like DappRadar and Dapp.com and a couple of others, right? And, you know, they just start listing everything, right? You know, other layer ones as like Tron, EOS, right? And it confuses users a lot, right? Because they're very confused and you don't know the difference between different layer ones. They don't know they use different wallets, right? So it's like, how do we provide that very seamless and aggregated experience so a user knows what they're using and how it connects to each individual thing in itself, right? So, you know, we'll reach a point where users are basically deciding, you know, what should be curated, right? And then also rewarding those users for doing the curation in itself, right? We're kind of still figuring out, but most of those details right now have actually worked. But, you know, curation is sort of, you know, the biggest thing to work on with these next Web3 social networks, right? It's like, how do we get users doing most of the curation from the on-chain data in itself when there's, you know, thousands of different crypto projects out there, you know, millions of forks, right? Because you'll have, you know, eventually people forking crypto projects every single day, right? So it's like, how do you curate the most effective ones? And especially if, you know, sometimes forks might be more valuable and more efficient and kind of like the originals in themselves, right? So it's kind of something we're actively thinking about and kind of working towards right now.
That's awesome, man. And the experience you run on Rabbit Hole, like the XP points, how does that work? Is that like linked to a wallet or is that kind of linked to Bright ID that you alluded to? How exactly does that work?
Yeah, so right now we actually use Threebox, which is an identity protocol. And we plug the XP into Threebox public profile. So Threebox basically contains the XP as a space. So if you know, another crypto project integrates Threebox, they'll be able to pull in someone's Rabbit Hole XP strictly in that profile, right? So if, say, if you wanted to do, say, an airdrop to a user, right, and they maybe they need to have, you know, a minimum XP in order to get to airdrop, right? So instead of curating, say, you know, like 12 to 15 different, you know, on-chain interactions for someone to do an airdrop, they can just say, hey, if you have, you know, at least 4,000 XP on Rabbit Hole, not only will it know that you're an active user because, you know, Rabbit Hole launched recently, but it'll also, you know, give you a good certainty that this user is, you know, has done a lot of actions and is like a pro user and willing to contribute. So that's kind of how XP works right now, but we'll be building in more functionality with XP over time. So things like, you know, leaderboards and more social features to kind of, you know, showcase XP as sort of like a new form of reputation, right? Sort of our thesis right now is that like social graphs on Twitter is not the best form of reputation because, you know, everyone just wants to build, you know, social status right now, get to the point where everyone's an influencer, everyone's a creator, right? And it's kind of like really easy to game the algorithm to some point, right? And eventually, you know, the most effective way to actually distribute product are people who are actually need to use them and not just, you know, talk about them, right? Because there'll just be, you know, a lot of noise going on. So, you know, we think that, you know, on-chain and truth is going to be the most effective way to have some sort of reputation, right? So I kind of have this belief that, you know, next 10 years, you know, the most important universities will be built on blockchain as well, right? Where they basically, you know, tell you like, okay, you need to do these 50 on-chain interactions, right? And if you do all these 50 on-chain interactions, you'll get your degree or your certification, which will entitle you, you know, to some on-chain work in the future, right? And that can either be as like a non-transferable NFT, can be a credential living in ceramic, but sort of just this thesis of just, you know, on-chain work and doing things on-chain will be kind of how we operate in the future from a decentralized work capacity.
That's awesome, man. I really hope you guys disrupt college at some point because it was such a waste of time for the most part, way overpriced. But to think that, you know, you get a certain XP in your wallet and you graduate, that would be incredible. I think Chamath just tweeted about, you know, redoing education. We should slide his DMs about those. But yeah, just moving on. I mean, how granular can you get on the lessons in XP? Like I ask from a viewpoint of, like, let's say we have a highly technical, you know, options protocol or derivatives built on Ethereum, and there might only be a couple dozen people who they want to incentivize to bring liquidity, interact on the platform, whatever. For them to target like those specific, you know, very small subset using on-chain data would be like really interesting to them. And obviously, you know, if they could connect through Rabbit Hole, it's really interesting for those users too.
Yeah. So, you know, the best thing about, you know, on-chain data is that because you have these kind of, you know, rich data profiles about addresses, like you can do high targeting, right? So even if there's, say, you know, five compound whales that, you know, participating in governance and voting on every single interaction, right? Maybe that's like highly valuable to another DeFi protocol, right? To kind of get those users like into the ecosystem and supplying their assets, and, you know, instead of using compound and voting in governance, right? So you could theoretically do a campaign on Rabbit Hole that's just targeting like those five addresses, right? The problem always comes back to is like, you know, how do you notify those users that this campaign exists, right? Like there's no efficient way to, you know, message an address and say like, hey, like there's this incentive here, right? You know, like email addresses kind of like in a Web2 sense, right? And so, you know, that's why there's like, there needs to be sort of either a platform or like a messaging protocol eventually, you know, just to tell addresses like, hey, like here's this thing that's only specific to you based on like what you've done in the past, right? And it's like, doesn't matter who you are as like an individual or your identity, but because you've done these on-chain interactions, we think you may be a good fit for like this, for this incentive to join our network, right? And this is probably how, you know, recruiting will work in the future, right? Where you basically can see someone's on-chain work, you know, and because they're participating in governance, that they're, you know, creating proposals and you're able to, you know, give them certain incentives to join as sort of like a signing bonus, essentially, right? It's sort of the equivalent. So, yeah. So, yeah, to answer your question, we can do highly targeted campaigns, but it probably won't be released for a few months till we see something like that.
No, the possibility is there. And how long do you think it is until we get that messaging service to wallets? Like, is that like an Ethereum push notification service, like the project they're building, or is that something totally different, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they exist here and there. You know, Threebox has threads. There's like EPNS. There's, you know, Arweave has some email clients, right? So they exist here and there, but these things only exist or could only work with a network effect, right? So until we're kind of all using them at once, right? And until we're like we as sort of like crypto community and start like using something for all of us and start dog fooding it ourselves, will we actually start, about like using something like that and actually, living in that world, right? So I think that, once someone figures it out of sort of the best way to bring users into kind of this like more of the decentralized, social networking world, like we'll start to see more of those things start taking off. So maybe give it at least one or two more years before we start to see that.
Fair, man. It's exciting. And just to close out on the stakeholder groups, how does it work from a business perspective from Rabbit Hole? Like, the traditional sense would be, hey, we take a cut of the tokens we, provide for users. The fun way, I guess, would be you guys launching your own governance token, some, way around that. I wasn't sure how far along the thinking was there and what your plans were.
Yeah, so the business model is very similar to traditional Facebook ads, right? Kind of on a wider scale, right? So we take a fee for campaigns around Rabbit Hole for targeting users, right? It's kind of as simple as that, right? So right now it's sort of a fixed fee, but we're also experimenting with sort of a variable fee in the future based upon to do much larger campaigns in the future.
Awesome, man. That's exciting. And before we got on, we were chatting a bit about kind of like what Web3 social networks look like. What's the interplay with your thoughts there in Rabbit Hole?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. Originally, when we first started Rabbit Hole, the way I thought about it was that it's sort of like a new blockchain game, right? Because blockchain games in themselves, like Axie or CryptoKitties, are like all contained into one interface or all contained into one website, right? But because your interactions in the game actually can exist on public ledger, they can make a difference in kind of other applications as well, right? And so I was thinking what if you created sort of like a wider platform, right? That kind of like felt like a game almost in itself, but your interactions in the game is affected by gameplay, in each other application, right? So, a lot of people make the, analogy with DeFi. So sort of like this like huge MMO, right? With DeFi farming and whatnot, right? And so that was sort of like the thesis is that, what if you could level up and get XP, right? And get tokens and complete quests, right? For kind of like going into like each of these DeFi protocols, right? And, sort of like following that thought is like, okay, well, it starts off as very much a single player activity. Well, what does it look like when you kind of introduce more multiplayer level functionality into the mix, right? So then you start looking at things like profile sharing, right? So being able to link out your profile to others, right? Or then you get the leaderboards, right? So you're able to actually see who the most crypto native people are, right? Across an entire platform, right? So basically where we're trying to go with this is that Web3 social networks are going to look a lot like about, what balances you hold or what you've done on chain as sort of like your, proof that you've done something, right? So like even donating to an artist first, holding an artist's token from like a creator economy standpoint, right? And just having that proof of ownership, right? And building a whole social feature set kind of around that is sort of where Web3 social networks will go, right? People want that, social signaling that they've actually done something. People aren't going to want to prove it. It's, we're kind of in that age of deep fakes right now in kind of a Web2 sense, right? Where you don't know if something is real or fake. So we're just going to be so overloaded, at a certain point, we'll just have to switch over to Web3 social networks, right? I think the only thing sort of like holding it back right now is scalability, right? So it's really hard to build a Web3 social network right now, obviously on Ethereum because of its scalability issues. And there's also no storage networks that are kind of like in full capacity and upsize, your Filecoin or Arweave, right? So they're just starting up right now. So maybe we'll start to see some more social networks being built out on the storage networks and on maybe different layer ones like a Solana or a Near, something in the future next year. And that'll start to be really exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. And I guess the ironic part is like with crypto, we all have our anonymity. Anybody could spin up a wallet, et cetera. With Web3 social networks, it feels like we're kind of going back, right? Like we want our identity linked to our wallet. Like, is there any concern there on your mind, like pushback from the crypto community saying, hey, we want to be Anon, but on the flip side, hey, I want you guys to know that I did all of these things on Rabbit Hole and I'm an expert.
Yeah, you know, this is like one of the most interesting debates with the rabbit hole kind of in itself, right? It's kind of like all of this on-chain data exists about your address, but you know, nobody wants to be doxxed, right? It's sort of like, it's all about doxing, right? But you know, I think one interesting thing that, you know, Balaji talks about is that, you know, we'll probably have multiple identities in the future, right? We'll have sort of this on-chain identity that with maybe a pseudonym, right? That's probably not a real name. That's actually probably doing most of the real on-chain work, right? Then we'll have a real identities, right? And that will be completely private, right? And so we'll kind of have these two things as separate, right? So that's probably most likely how this will exist in the future, where we'll have sort of like a public-facing address, public-facing, you know, DID to some extent, right? With kind of all our credentials attached to it. We don't care about being doxxed to some extent, right? And then more of a private one where we do more of like a financial transaction. So it'll be really interesting. We get to that point to kind of see how they split out, because it's not quite clear right now, and it's going to get pretty hairy. But you know, it's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I'm wondering what it looks like from an investment perspective. Like, you know, me, you, we all look at like early stage Anon projects, and we're all a little, you know, reticent to jump in, right? Because these people could walk away. They don't really have a social standing in the community. They're anonymous, and that's good. They could push the bounds and move things. But in some cases, we want to see, you know, what these founders worked on, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago. Do you think that the reputation people amassed through Rabbit Hole could potentially be used by VCs and investors to dig into Anon founders?
Yeah, and that's kind of our goal here, right? We realize that, you know, a lot more Anon developers are kind of coming out of woodworks, but there's actually no way to prove if they're, you know, if there's any truth behind them, right? So if they can just show their profile and saw all their on-chain achievements and their credentials, right, from each of the Rabbit Hole campaigns, kind of what they worked on, maybe they've, you know, created some urine strategies in the past, right, or contributed heavily to, you know, compound governance, right? They want to be able to share those things kind of in all in one place to show to someone like, hey, like, they're, you know, I'm not just an Anon with no history. I'm actually someone, you know, who's done a lot of things in the past, right? And he was like everything to represent that. So, right. So it's kind of like a decentralized LinkedIn to kind of that extent, right? Where you can have all their history of a specific profile and kind of all in one place.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, they could walk away in real life, but walking away from your wallet with 5 or 10 years worth of reputation would be definitely another good hold for investors. And Brian, just closing out, what are your thoughts on, I guess, the future of like decentralized work, right? Because in the world of crypto, you know, you don't work for one company anymore. You work for 100 projects at a time, maybe not that many, but on and off throughout the year, especially as freelancing, especially on the dev side, the creative side. How does Rabbit Hole play into that world?
Yeah, so I don't know if you've ever seen Westworld season 3.
Oh yeah,
But you know, it's Westworld season 3 is really interesting, very different than the first two seasons, as you know. I'm not going to give spoilers here to kind of the audience here, but there is sort of this first scene where you know, they open up their phone and they have sort of their bounty task for the day of things for them to do, right? And I think, you know, the future of work is going to be where we're kind of coming back to one platform or multiple platforms and seeing our work for the day, right, based upon like what our incentives are, you know, for each of those things, right? So whether it's, you know, voting in governance, you know, we'll kind of get a notification saying, oh, we need to vote on this proposal today, or we need to, you know, stake to this address, we need to go delegate, right? We need to go vote in this Aragon Jur proposal, right? You know, each of these kind of networks are going to have sort of these like participants that they'll need to recruit from, right? So we're going to just be getting all these tasks every single day from different networks that are basically incentivizing us to do new things, right? And so, you know, we'll most likely be part of multiple protocols and multiple networks and probably not have, you know, one full-time job, right? We're already kind of in this age of like remote work, right? Where we're already, you know, starting to become more contractor focused, right? More creator and entrepreneur focus, where we have multiple gigs kind of happening at the same time, right? So it's only a matter of time till we start, you know, working with multiple networks instead of just like real companies sort of in itself. So we're going to most likely, you know, transition to the age of DAOs probably in the next few years, right? Where we'll probably be part of, you know, multiple DAOs. We'll kind of feel like, you know, sort of like, you know, the Middle Ages almost, we're part of these guilds, right? It's going to be pretty interesting, right? You know, I think Meta Cartel is kind of like way ahead of this trend of in kind of a great guild fit to that extent, right? Where you're able to be part of this huge community of builders or are kind of actively doing things and splitting the profits between, you know, helping out with different projects. I think we'll start to see a lot more of that right now, right? We see sort of these design DAOs popping up and these marketing DAOs, right? And we're kind of helping projects, right? From sort of like a workshop perspective, right? And getting tokens for kind of helping out for some of these projects. So it's just really interesting to kind of see like new organizational ways to kind of incentivize participants to contribute to these different networks.
Yeah, it's fascinating. The funny part is I'm not a developer, obviously, but I don't know how it would be so hard to hire a developer for a specific project in crypto. I mean, the pool of people is small to begin with. The work is so specific. Like you have to be saving hiring managers significant amounts of time with this.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting in itself seeing like a lot of crypto funds like hiring developers and Solidity engineers right now, right? You're seeing like paradigm in itself, right? Hiring a lot of bunch of developers because it's kind of already transitioning to this, right? Where funds you kind of need their value add in some capacity, right? Outside of just capital, right? So they're kind of, you know, hiring talent in-house that they can provide to each of these networks, right? They kind of see this where developers can contribute to multiple protocols instead of just, you know, hiring, you know, one developer sort of in itself.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And Brian, just closing out, one last question for you on more of the degen side of things. Is there a way to like give people experience based on how early they get involved with projects? Like, you know, if I'm trading on comp, you know, 6 months ago versus today, like I feel like I should get a lot more experience for doing it. Like, is there any scaling factor there?
From the rabbit hole standpoint?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So reputation is a really tricky problem because it's mostly subjective, right? It's kind of like up to us to kind of set those values in itself. Like we're basically trying to quantify, you know, how valuable of a contract interaction is in itself. So when you start to tweak the values based off time, not as opposed to like objective history, it gets a bit more tricky because then it'll be harder to kind of standardize it across, you know, multiple networks to get people to use it. I think others will probably, you know, will experiment with that, but we're not going to be doing anything like that for Rabbitol and reputation.
That's totally fair. Brian, this is fascinating, man. You're the first project I've seen that's linking real on-chain data to identities. I feel like after talking to you, my wallet is more of my identity now than I did when we first started. So how could people get involved and check out Rabbitol?
Yeah, the best place is to visit the website, rabbithole.gg, join the Discord, do some quests, start earning tokens and getting some XP.
Hell yeah, man. We'll link to it in the show notes. And thanks again for coming out, Brian.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tom. Take care.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please support the show by hitting subscribe on iTunes, writing a review, or sharing this episode on Twitter and LinkedIn. And stay tuned for our next episode out soon.